Morning, everybody. Welcome to Friends Church. Before I get going, I want to give a shout out to all the people who did the cancer ride yesterday. I think Alessandra's here. We braved the smoke for 109 kilometers until they shut us down. So if I sound like I'm a lifetime smoker and I'm out of breath, now you know why. Sorry, one second. It's going to be a lot of that today, guys. Sorry. Oh, geez. And Cairo and Joanna, they got shut down a little bit quicker than us, which is kind of disappointing. But Calgary, so all the people who supported us, all of Calgary raised $8.1 million this year. Isn't that incredible? And you guys, a lot of you guys, you know us and you donated to us. You're part of all this. And I was stunned by how you think, like, I just have this little bit that I can do. But when we all put our little bits together, how big it gets, huh? $8.1 million for cancer research. Yeah. And since there's a 1 in 2 chance that we're all getting cancer, that's even better for us, right? Yay, us. I had a really kind of idyllic childhood. I grew up on an acreage outside of a small town. We had bikes, motorbikes, snowmobiles. It was just basically like summer was a nonstop fun time for us. Anyone else kind of remember their childhood and those moments where it's just fun, right? And I was reflecting on it the other day, thinking, like, it was just insane. Like, you would be biking along, and then something else would catch your attention. You'd throw your bike in the middle of wherever you were, and then go do something else. Go play in a tree for a while. Then your brother would pull up on his bike, and you'd be like, oh, where's my bike? You run back and get that, and then you go off and do something else. But here's the thing I want you to think about for just a second. Did you ever need a day off from your summer as a kid? Right? It was so awesome that every day you were just like, you couldn't wait to get going. So now fast forward to now. We are 2 weeks from the end of summer. How many of you need a day off right now? Sorry, it's just the truth. I'm just going to speak truth up here. Our lives seem busier, more stressful, more insane. We're supposed to have come through the relaxing time of our year, right? It's summer. I hear people saying to me, oh man, I shouldn't even have gone away this summer. Man, I'm so busy now and I have so much to do and, getting caught up. It's just insane. Next year, I'm just not going to go on holidays. I hear people saying, this summer it kind of changed. We booked our kid into a summer program. And so, yeah, I'm at COP every day for the next 3 weeks. Right? Are people saying to me, like, I'm exhausted. And you're looking at the next 10 months of the year. Just for a second, your guys' faces are all so sad right now. Like, oh, Vince, you're bringing us down. But it's true, right? We just finished the time to recharge and rejuvenate our lives. And I think we maybe missed out on a few things. So today I want to talk about that because I think our spiritual ancestors actually put a lot of thought and care into this. They seem to spend a lot of time thinking, for lack of a better term, what would summer look like? How do you do summer well? I'm just going to make sure I know where I am. Now, in order to talk a bit about this, I need to give you guys a little bit of review. A couple weeks ago, I've kind of been on this like mini-series. Jeff was in there in the midst of Jeff and Alessandra last week, but for the last 3 of the last 4 weeks, I've kind of been on this one that I didn't mean it to all go together, but it seemed like it just kept going together. We started off examining space. Anyone, was that the space message? Anyone change how when you walked through this building now, you had a different sense of what you're looking at? It was fascinating as I talked with an architect in our community, talked about how space impacts us, how this room feels, the fact that there's light from the tall windows high above us, and it's kind of arched like this. It's a reason. And if we took down this screen, there's actually windows all the way down the side of this that we cover up so you guys can see the screen. But what it does is it creates this sense of like eyes going up, light from the top. It's got a really beautiful feel to this space. And our spiritual ancestors actually talked about their buildings really specifically on how to create space that moves us. Now, the interesting thing about that is space moves us, but there's one more thing about space that I think they're tying into. Have you ever, you know, when you were younger or possibly now, anyone lived in a bachelor suite where like your kitchen and your bathroom and your bedroom and your living room and everything else is all the same room? Anyone like that space? We could all do that. We could just take our houses, knock down all the walls, right? And like every room is just like the entire room. For some reason, we don't like that. We like to have our bedroom, and we can close the door, and then, you know, the bathroom, we can close the door, and the living room's over here, and that's kind of delineated from the kitchen, which is over here. I think our spiritual ancestors, over years, tens of thousands of years, they realized that our brains seem to like spaces that are dedicated to a single thing. I can save you guys all a bunch of money right now if that's not true. Because you can just go to Walmart, buy a bunch of weights, take them home. You'll never have to do a gym membership again. Just, you know, do your weights in the morning. Bob's your uncle, right? But we don't really like that, do we? We would rather go to a gym because at the gym is where I work out, and at home is where I don't work out. Our brains seem to work better this way. And so I asked you guys, how are you setting aside space for the different parts of your life? Obviously, you're here today. This is a spiritual space, right? You're not here working on a paper for school or you're responding to emails or any of that stuff. You're here to work on your spiritual life. It's dedicated. It's focused. You could be doing a podcast while answering your emails at home, you know, and homeschooling your kids all at the same time, right? You could do that. But our brains don't like that. They like it when we have space dedicated to specific things in our lives. So that's space. The next one we started talking about was beauty. And beauty was an amazing one. What actually started me was they started cleaning up the front of the building here. Used to be full of weeds and overgrown trees, and it looked kind of like crap. And they have a new caretaker, and she loves gardening. And so she started cleaning up all these flower beds and putting these flowers. And she'd say to me, Vince, come look at the roses. Check this out. And after a while, I realized, wow, this place is beautiful. And so I started exploring how our spiritual ancestors talked about their spiritual spaces. And not only were they specifically created to have a certain feeling, they were also said to be beautiful. They were made out of basically movable curtains, because you can move them around, and, you know, as they're moving from place. These are nomadic people, right? They want to move their spaces from place to place. But they said instead of just making curtains out of, you know, old towels that are stained and you don't want to use anymore, use linen, beautiful linen. And then embroider them with beautiful thread. Hang them with silver hooks. Make them beautiful. And so we started to explore how beauty moves us. And I had Shane. Actually, Shane's the guy who first got me onto the song. He's running the sound today. I said, Shane, make sure this sounds good. He's like, don't worry, Vince. This is my song. I got you under control here, buddy. But we started listening to different things. We listened to the girls singing from the balcony, just hearing the sounds of voices. We heard instruments. We saw beautiful artwork. I saw the Pieta when I went to St. Peter's Basilica, and I remember just being amazed by it. That somebody would create something beautiful in the longest lasting material that they had just so that we could all experience it forever. Beauty moves us, right? It changes us. After my message 2 weeks ago on beauty, I went down to my office on Monday morning. I turned on my speakers, my 10-year-old crappy-ass computer speakers that have been connected to every computer I've ever owned, right? And I turned them on, and I started listening to music, and I was like, these are the worst-sounding speakers I've ever experienced in my life. What am I doing? Listen to the podcast, Vince. You just talked about this. So I went online, and I ordered myself a beautiful set of sounding speakers. And now I sit in my office, and it's beautiful. I hear beautiful music like this, and it sounds incredible. So I asked, what beauty moves you? Is it artwork in your house? Is it clothes? Is it how your house looks? Is it the park someplace? Is it nature? I don't know. But what about beauty moves you? And what kind of beauty moves you? Now, the interesting thing about these last two weeks is those two things are tools, right? Space and beauty are a tool. But what are they supposed to do for you? What are you going to use them for? That's what I want to talk about today. Because I think our spiritual ancestors actually thought a lot about how we use space and beauty, and it's for something that doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. But in order to explain it to you, I want you guys to all look up for a second. If you're on the podcast right now, we're looking up at those big hoops in the ceiling. Now, these hoops actually represent the days of creation. So the Bible begins with story, or two stories, or actually there's three stories about creation. In my world, they're myths that talk about something specific. Some people think they're literal. I don't really care. But what they're doing... Sorry, I don't want to get caught up in that. This isn't a creation, non-creation debate here today. That's not what I get at. But what it talks about is this idea of there's this beginning phase of work. And the story goes that God created these different parts of the world. So if you look over there, separates the land from the sea. You know, see the fish and the birds. Here we have animals we have the stars coming up here. We have the firmament from the ground, from the water. We have plants. We have the day and the night. Now again, when we get all scientific on this, it kind of loses its power. But when you look at this from this lens of, there's 6 days and every day something is done. Work has happened. Now, it's not big work. You know, the story goes, God said, make that and it happens. So, like, it's not like God had to lift a bunch of rocks to make it happen. But what you get is this idea of there's 6 days of work, and then there's a seventh day. And there's no hoop for the seventh day. Because I just want to read you guys what it says. So the creation of the heavens and the earth, everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day he rested from his work of creation. Now, we talked a bit about the word holy. Holy is just to set something apart. I know it sounds really spiritual, but it's really not. It's kind of like saying, okay, that's the time when we do this. That's holy. He says, the seventh day is holy. It's the day we rest. The Jews called it Sabbath. And it's an interesting idea because it brings us right back to the beginning, doesn't it? How many of you have rested recently? Like really rested? Like a rest that would actually rejuvenate you, that makes you feel better the next day. Anyone? Even on holidays, I heard a friend of mine was on holidays like, yeah, you want to see the spreadsheet of my holiday? Sure. We have 24 minutes over here for the kids to play, and then we have to get to, right? Now, maybe in his world, that's rejuvenation, and I have no judgments. But no, I actually honestly don't. It just struck me as funny. If that's rejuvenating for him, that's fantastic. Now, most of time, Sabbath has been this weird thing, right? I grew up in my dad actually lives in this town that my family was from, called Steinbeck, Manitoba. Anyone know Steinbeck? Holy crap. How do you guys... Anyways, weird-ass little town in the middle of southern Manitoba. And they, literally, it was closed on Sunday. The odd corner store was maybe open, and everyone was like, oh, don't go there. Because in their minds, Sabbath was about making sure you don't work. Right? Really literal. Sabbath is not working. Over the last 2,000 years, not 4,000 years, let's say, the number of pages that have been written on how to make sure you're not doing work on the Sabbath is insane. I just want to point out my favorite. When you know, if you were in an agricultural world and before machines, to turn over the ground to cultivate, you would stick something in and turn it, right? You turn earth, that's work. So the absence of work is not turning over earth. When you spit in a dusty culture, your spit goes, lands in the dirt, and then it rolls, covered in dirt. So what have we done to the dirt now? We turned it over. So in order to keep the Sabbath, you do not spit on Sabbath day. Y'all spit today? Actually, luckily, we're not in a dry culture, so that kind of just smears the spit, so I think you're okay. We probably should check with someone on that one. I'm not educated enough for that one. But you see how Sabbath became this really legalistic, it's about the rule. And I think the heart of it was this: how do you rejuvenate? How do you do things in your life that the next day you're going, oh, I feel incredible. I'm ready for my life. How do we do that? Now, I wanted to do something a little bit weird with you guys. I just want to spend a little time talking through different things that may or may not be Sabbath. Because Sabbath, I don't think, is a day. It's an attitude or a behavior or something we engage in. And what it does is it rejuvenates you. So all we need to do is figure out what rejuvenates us and what doesn't. So if you're open to it, you don't have to participate in this. I just want you to give like the old Romans, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up, it's rejuvenating. Thumbs down, it's not. Thumbs up, it's Sabbath. Thumbs down, it's not. So reading a book for leisure. Thumbs up. Reading a book to finish your degree. Oh, that didn't take very... Two thumbs down for that one. Isn't it interesting? Same behavior. One's recharging, one's not. Walk in the park. Yeah, I like that one too. Run in the mountains. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. I guess everyone's different, right? Fair enough, fair enough. But isn't it fascinating, Gal? Like, how would we create a rule around this? I'm like, run in the park. Other people are like, no, run in the park, or run in the mountains. That's dumb. That'd just be like tiring and exhausting. Why would I do that? Play with your kids. Okay, that's fairly consistent. There's a few young parents back there that are like, oh, geez. My kids are at that phase where they're just a lot of work. Cleaning your house. So the act of cleaning your house is recharging, or having a clean house? Ah. See? Isn't it tricky? Mountain biking in Bragg Creek, that's for sure. A thumbs up, everyone. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm seeing you. Full night sleep. Sleeping in the morning. Relaxing all day. No? Coffee with friends. I found the most fascinating thing. When I was doing my degree, studying theology, studying the Bible, was not Sabbath. Because it was work for me, right? It wasn't recharging, it was exhausting. Somehow, Sabbath became this rule that we didn't do, or we didn't do it right. And we lost this whole thing of, what's rejuvenating? What's not rejuvenating? So just take a second. I gave you a list of things that I thought were kind of rejuvenating. What's rejuvenating for you? You can often feel it because you can breathe a bit better. You can open up. Kind of feel better about the day. You wake up the next day, you feel more alive, more relaxed. What are those things for you? Now I'm guessing as I say this, some of you, not all of you, a very small amount, are saying what someone just said to me earlier today. They were like, oh man, I'm house-sitting somebody. I have the place to myself. So the other day, I just woke up. I didn't have to go to work, didn't do anything. So I just chilled all day. I just binged Netflix. And I was like, just about to say, like, yay. And he's like, I know I probably shouldn't do that. I should have probably done something more productive. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Isn't it funny how even as our brain goes to this idea of rejuvenation and relaxation, what happens to some of us? Oh, I can't do that. That's not productive. I should be studying something or reading something educational or something. I don't know. Should we get my exercise? Something. Our spiritual ancestors were very specific. Once a week, take a break. Rejuvenate. Recharge yourself. This isn't about our kind of post-Puritan culture where it's, if you're not working, there's something wrong with you. If you're not producing, something's wrong with you, right? If you have a day off, sweet mother, you better be doing something healthy, right? Sitting with your feet up. Well, don't tell your friends that, because it's embarrassing. What would it be like if we gave ourselves permission? Let me even push a little bit further. What would it be like if we heard the voices of our spiritual ancestors saying to us, you need to rejuvenate? And not when you've earned it. I've had such a busy week. I've been working 16-hour days. Oh, I'm going to take some time off. No. That's not it. That's how we kind of mind hack ourselves into taking a break, which isn't a break because we're so exhausted. We're just frantically trying to get through whatever, right? You go onto Netflix or onto Facebook and just like scroll through whatever. You're not even doing anything. It's not recharging. It's not rejuvenating. What would it be like if we scheduled regular times in our lives to rejuvenate? Just think for a second of how your life would look. When I don't do this, I am the worst, not worst, I'm an awesome driver, but I'm not friendly with other drivers, right? What are you doing? I'm screaming at everybody all the time, and I'm going, what is wrong? Like, my fuse is so short. A friend of me wants to come and talk about their day. 4 seconds in, I'm already trying to fix it because I'm going, I can't deal with any of your crap. Like, I just literally cannot deal with this. So I'm just going to fix it so I don't have to deal with it, right? We've all been there. What would it be like if we actually recharged? If we followed the advice of our spiritual ancestors and regularly found time to rejuvenate ourselves? How would that impact your relationships? Or your sense of self, your health, your physical health? How would it change how you behave in this world? A bunch of people said to me, Vince, this whole rest thing, do we really need that in our culture? So I did a little bit of research. Did you guys all know that there is a new richest man in the world? Everyone know that? Used to be Bill Gates. Actually, you probably all know him because you probably bought stuff from him. He started his life on the East Coast in finance. And as the internet started to kick in, he was like, wait a second, I think there's something I can do here. And so he borrowed a bunch of money. Him and his wife drove across the country to Seattle. And they started an itty-bitty little company called Amazon. Jeff Bezos, now the richest man, not only in the world, the richest man in history. I was listening to a bit about his life. He's the CEO and founder of Amazon, little company, third biggest company in the world. He's a major stakeholder in Blue Origin, which will probably be putting the hoi polloi every man into space at some point in the next year or so. Just a little thing, right? He bought the Washington Post because he wanted to have a news outlet. He decided that he wanted to actually revamp healthcare, so he's starting an entire healthcare system that should be able to help his employees and everyone. So, kind of like an underachiever, right? Kind of works part-time, blah, blah, blah. This guy is insane. And you'd think with that kind of schedule, this guy would just be nose to the grindstone now, all day, every day, 24/7, right? Here's what he said. He said his number one advantage in his life is he gets 8 hours of sleep a day. That comes first. There's some of you looking at me like going, I haven't had 8 hours of sleep since my kid was born. 8 hours of sleep. He says for two reasons. First, he makes better decisions. Let's be honest, we all know it when we're exhausted, right? Not super sharp upstairs. You know, someone says something and we blow off the gas or blow a gasket because we're super mad at them, and then we realize, oh, that's not what you meant. Oh, sorry. Just a little tired. But he said something interesting. He said something, there's another reason why he does. He sleeps 8 hours a day. He says, for me, that's the needed amount to feel energized and excited. When was the last time you felt energized and excited about your day? When we were kids, we did, didn't we? Playing on our bikes. Every day was exciting. Every day we were rejuvenated. Nowadays, how are we doing? There's an interesting thing as I talked through this. There's another piece that came up for people. They said, oh, you know, Vince, I think I'm buying into this whole like rejuvenation thing, but, you know, classic but I have this whole list. And when I'm done my list, then I'll rejuvenate. Then I'll be able to rejuvenate. Anyone, don't put up your hands, but anyone, that list is kind of like, here's the thing. I think our spiritual ancestors were very specific. And not because if you don't do Sabbath, God's going to be mad. I don't think that that's what this was about, although it's come to that, right? I think what they were doing is saying very specific things because they understood how we as humans work. The list is never done. Folks, I'm just like straight up, the list is never done. When you've done something on the list, you're going to put something else. You're going to put six more things. You are basically being run by the list. It doesn't care about you. It just wants you to do the list stuff on the list. It will eat you up and spit you out the other side, right? You've all felt that, right? Sorry. Someone did. There's a joke there. We'll talk about that one later. That's good. This isn't wait till you have enough done. Wait till you've earned some time. Wait till you have enough psychic weight off that you can take a break. This is no, take a break. My brother is fantastic at this. I was at his house a little while ago helping him pull the transmission out of his truck. We needed to swap out his clutch, that's what it was. So we're pulling the transmission out, running underneath the truck. And literally, it was like, remember Flintstones? Like when the lunch bell goes, boop. It was like my brother had one of those in his head, like 11 or 12 o'clock, and he just kind of goes like this, clunk, crawls out from underneath the truck, and I'm, you know, halfway, got my foot up, trying to like get a bolt off, and he's like, it's lunchtime. I'm like, dude, let's just get a few more, like, we're in the middle of something here, and he's like, Vince, it's lunchtime. Now, we all know, if I would have talked him back under the truck, we'd have been working there for another 3 hours till we're so exhausted and hungry that we can't even like figure out what we're doing anymore. And then we'd be yelling at each other as we're trying to figure out a restaurant to go to, right? That's how life would have gone if I would have let the list run things. My brother, boop, it's time for lunch. We take a break. We recharge now. I don't often say this, but my brother knows stuff. There's one more thing. We look at this idea of rest, and I can tell you guys are kind of starting to warm up to the idea a little bit, right? Still a few things in your head. Mothers, I just want to speak to you for a second. It's actually all, most women, but primarily mothers. Your biology is unique. Your brains are wired to have something steal your attention. When we test people in rooms, we can put a crying baby, we actually put speakers around the room, and we have a baby cry in a certain speaker. Mums with their eyes closed are just like this, punk, right there. People who aren't mums are like, I don't know, I think I heard something. What? I don't know, someplace over there maybe? I don't know. Right? Our species needed the mothers to be like, crying baby, drop everything, go take care of that. That's why we're all here today, because mothers did that for us. If they didn't, we would have been like jaguar food 10,000 years ago. or bears. Bear food. Total bear food. So mothers, for you, this concept of Sabbath goes against your very biology. Your hormones are designed to do this to you. And again, we thank you. But it is really hard because you're wired to have something be more important than your rejuvenation. But think about your mothering when you're relaxed. Think about how you can be with your kids when you've had a day or two away from them. Maybe you got to sleep in a little bit. I don't know what your thing is, whatever rejuvenates it. But think about the shift in what you can be as a mother. How loving, how caring, how nurturing. It's a tough place in our society, but I think mothers, man, if you can figure this balance out, our world will be better for it. So I'm going to finish with one last thing. This idea of Sabbath rejuvenation feels fantastic, doesn't it? I got to be honest, I worked at it really hard. I got to the point where I could, on Wednesdays, I'd finish work at about 6, I'd hit the gym, get home about 8:30, I'd have fast food with me, because that's what I do. Biologically, that's okay for me, by the way. Anyways. 8:30, I'd get home, and I'd sit on the couch, and I'd turn on a movie, and I'd watch a movie, and then go to bed. I couldn't do it with TV, because TV, right? As soon as you finish one episode, the next one's going, right? Movies have this nice arc, and 2 hours, done. I couldn't surf my computer, because I'd start researching something, and then I'm off. It wasn't rejuvenating. Sitting, watching a movie for 2 hours on a Wednesday evening, spot on. It took me years to figure out exactly that. I can't even be interrupted. I have to be able to watch the movie without interruptions. I know, weird, but it's rejuvenating, right? That's what works for me. Then some of my schedule moved around, and I donate plasma every second week. And plasma only worked on Wednesdays. And I thought, well, you know, it's in me to give. It's a good thing, right? I'll just do it on Wednesdays during my Sabbath time, right? How do you think that worked? As I'm driving to plasma, screaming at someone for driving too slow because I'm late, right? Wait a second here. This isn't, Sabbath isn't a day. It can be. For some of you parents with young kids right now, I'm guessing Sabbath is 5 minutes. But what could you do in your life where you deliberately focus on what recharges you, what rejuvenates you? What if you prioritize that against everything else, the list, the stuff you need to do, all that stuff? You said, no. This is the time I recharge. How would your life look? I spent some time with a guy this week, and we were talking about Sabbath, because if you're going to talk, if you have a meeting with me at any time before a message, we're going to talk about my message, because I'm like, I'll talk about what you want to talk about, then I want to run my message by you and see how it goes. That's how my messages kind of get this, like, oh, there we go, that'll work better. And he's going, Sabbath, you know what, son, Saturday morning, I've had this crazy week, I'm in this job I don't like, it's in a style that doesn't fit me, I'm, you know, over my head, I'm not loving this, but Saturday morning I get up early and I drive to the golf course. And it's beautiful, and it's green, and I get to compete against people, and, you know, have a couple beers. He's like, by lunchtime, I am just rejuvenated. He's like, dude, that is Sabbath right there. He's like, yeah, I know, but my wife, see, she's home. You know, I'm not taking her out, and she's kind of like, we got all this stress at home, and, you know, I have this really amazing rejuvenation time, and she's just like, ugh. And I said, here's the thing. I don't think our spirituality is ever meant to just be for us. The reason I talk about the more than, it's this sense of, this isn't just a narcissistic journey where, how do I make Vince's life better? I think if you're in that mindset, spirituality doesn't make any sense to you. Spirituality is when you open up and you're healthy in the inside. You open up enough to be able to look around you and see what's going around you. I said, what would happen if you didn't leave that rejuvenation at the golf course? What if you brought that home? Do something incredible for your wife. You can feel it when you're rejuvenated. You want to do stuff, right? You're excited. So bring home something. I don't know, whatever it is that's part of, that would make her journey incredible. Bring that Sabbath that you did and pour it into her life now. And she'll pour it into your kid's life, and he'll pour it into his friend's life. I think the spiritual journey is all about, we call it the so that. We do stuff that's healthy so that. Sabbath, I don't think, is just about making our lives better in the midst of craziness. I think Sabbath is about finding rejuvenation and then letting that spill out of us into the world around us. So I want to challenge you guys. You got 2 weeks left of summer. Baby step it. Find yourself 5 minutes. Find yourself an hour. Find yourself an evening. Find yourself a whole day. I don't know. Maybe you can do that. And deliberately do the things that recharge you so that this world becomes a better place. What do you guys think? Wouldn't this be a nice way to live our lives? You know, they wrote this stuff, whatever, 4,000 to 8,000 years ago, and it's still spot on wisdom. Do something that recharges you, make it regular, and don't skip it. For me, sometimes, the most recharging thing, set out to the mountains, jump on my bike, just pedal around and see the world. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.